Glenn Peterson with two selections. The first, the opening monologue from Act Three of Our Town, and the song, If I Were a Rich Man, from Fiddler on the Roof. Well, this time 9 years gone by, friends. It's summer 1913. Gradual changes in Grover's Corners. Horses are getting rarer. Farmers coming into town in Fords. Everybody locks their doors now at night. Ain't been any burglars in town yet, but everybody's heard about them. You'd be surprised, though. On the whole, things really don't change much around here. This is certainly an important part of Grover's Corners. It's on a hilltop, a windy hilltop. Lots of sky, lots of clouds, often lots of sun and moon and stars. You come up here on a fine afternoon and you can see range on range of hills. Awful blue they are, up there by Lake Sunapee and Lake Winnipesaukee. And way up, if you've got a glass, you can see the White Mountains and Mount Washington, where North Conway and Conway is. And of course, our favorite mountain, Mount Monadnock, is right here, and all the towns that lie around it. There's Jeffrey and East Jeffrey and Petersburg and Dublin. And there, quite a ways down, is Grover's Corners. Yes, beautiful spot up here, mountain laurel and lilacs. I often wondered why people like to be buried in Woodlawn when they might pass the same time up here in New Hampshire. Over there are the old stones, 1670, 1680, strong-minded people that come a long way to be independent. Summer people walk around laughing at the funny words on the tombstones. Don't do any harm. And genealogists come up from Boston, get paid by city people for looking up their ancestors. They want to make sure they're daughters of the American Revolution and of the Mayflower. Well, I guess that don't do any harm either. Whenever you come near the human race, there's layers and layers of nonsense. Over there are some Civil War veterans, iron flags on their graves, New Hampshire boys. Had a notion that the Union ought to be kept together, though they'd never seen more than 50 miles of it themselves. All they knew was the name, friends, the United States of America. The United States of America. And they went and they died about it. This here's the new part of the cemetery. Here's your friend, Mrs. Gibbs. Let's see, here's Mr. Stimson, organist at the Congregational Church, and Mrs. Sloan's, who enjoyed the wedding so, you remember. Oh, and a lot of others. Editor Webb's boy, Wallace, whose appendix burst while he was on a Boy Scout trip to Crawford Notch. Yes, an awful lot of sorrow has sort of quieted down up here. People just wild with grief have brought their relatives up this hill. We all know how it is. And then time, and sunny days, and rainy days, and snow. And, well, we're all glad they're in a beautiful place, and we're coming up here ourselves when our fit's over. Now, there are some things that we all know, but we don't take them out and look at them very often. We all know that something is eternal. And it ain't houses, and it ain't names, and it ain't earth, and it ain't even the stars. Everybody knows in their bones that something is eternal. And that something has got to do with human beings. All the greatest people on earth ever lived have been telling us that for 5,000 years. Yet you'd be surprised how people are always losing hold of it. There's something way down deep that's eternal about every human being. You know as well as I that the dead don't stay interested in us living people very long. Gradually, they lose hold of Earth and the ambitions they had and the pleasures they had and the things they suffered and the people they loved. And they get weaned away from Earth. That's the way I put it, weaned away. And they stay here while the earth part of them burns away, burns out. And all that time, they slowly get indifferent to what's going on in Grover's Corners. They're waiting. They're waiting for something that they feel is coming. Something important and great. Aren't they waiting for the eternal part of them to come out clear? Some of the things they're going to say maybe will hurt your feelings, but that's the way it is. Mother and daughter, husband and wife, enemy and enemy, money and miser. All those terribly important things grow kind of pale around here. And what's left when memory's gone and your identity, Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
Most everybody's asleep in Grover's Corners. There are a few lights on. Shorty Hawkins down at the depot has just watched the Albany train go by. And at the livery stable, somebody's sitting up late and talking. Yes, it's clearing up. There are the stars doing their old, old crisscross journeys in the sky. Scholars haven't settled the matter yet, but they seem to think that there are no living human beings up there, just chalk or fire. Only this one is straining away all the time to make something of itself. And the strain's so bad that every 16 hours everybody lies down to get a rest. 11 o'clock in Grover's Corners. You get a good rest too. Good night.
A fiddler on the roof. Sounds crazy, no? But in our little village of Anatevka, you might say that every one of us is a fiddler on the roof, trying to scratch out a simple, pleasant tune without breaking his neck. It isn't easy. Well, you may ask, why do we stay up here if it's so dangerous? We stay because Anatevka's our home. And how do we keep our balance? That I can answer in one word, tradition. Because of our traditions, we've kept our balance for many, many years. As the good book says, heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. In other words, send us the cure. We've got the sickness already. I'm not really complaining. After all, with your help, I'm starving to death. You made many, many poor people. And I realize, of course, it's no shame to be poor, but it's no great honor either. So what would have been so terrible if I had a small fortune? If I were a rich man, yum-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dum, all day long I'd biddy-biddy-bum. If I were a wealthy man, hey, I wouldn't have to work hard, yum-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dum. If I were a biddy-biddy rich, yadda-dee-a-diddle man, I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the dozens right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof and real wooden floors below. And there'd be one long staircase just going up, another even longer coming down, and one more going nowhere just for show. I'd fill my yard with chicks and turkeys and geese and ducks for the Thomas in here, squawking just as noisily as they can. And each loud quack and hawk and gobble and honk would sound like a trumpet on the ear, as if to say, here lives a wealthy man. Oh, if I were a rich man, yadda-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dum, all day long I'd biddy-biddy-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard, yadda-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee-a-dum. If I were a biddy-biddy rich, yadda-dee-a-diddle man, I see my wife, my gold, looking like a rich man's wife with a proper double chin, supervising meals to her heart's delight. I see her putting on airs and strutting like a peacock. Oh, what a happy mood she's in. Screaming at the servants day and night. The most important men in town will come to fawn on me. They will ask me to advise them, like a Solomon the wise. If you please, Reptevia, pardon me, Reptevia, posing problems that would cross a rabbi's eyes. And it won't make one bit of difference if I answer right or wrong. When you're rich, they think you really know. If I were rich, I'd have the time that I lack to sit in the synagogue and pray, and maybe have a seat by the eastern wall. And I'd discuss the holy book with the learned men 7 hours every day. That would be the sweetest thing of all. If I were a rich man, yaddy, 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 all day long I'd be bitty bum. If I were a wealthy man, hey, I wouldn't have to work hard. Yaddy, 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 Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man?